interview with Aileen about changing the outside. This is July 15th, 2006. So Aileen, tell me about some of your favorite childhood memories in Iraq. Tell me first when you were born.
I was born January 1930. Mm-hmm. And I had a lovely childhood. I was, we were six, four boys and two girls, and I was the youngest mm-hmm. in the family. Mm-hmm. And I went to the Allianz school.
Mm-hmm. What was that like? What was Allianz like when you were there?
It was very, the best school. It was for girls only. We had two schools, one for girls and one for boys. Mm-hmm. And this school was called Laura Kadoury School. Mm-hmm. Sir Eliezer Kadoury, he built it in the name of his wife, late wife, okay. Laura Kadoury. And we
That's the school I went to.
Okay. And all the girls went to this school.
What kind of school was it? What was it like?
We used to learn Arabic and French mm-hmm. and Hebrew at the start. But then after the late 30s, they stopped us from learning Hebrew.
Yeah.
The government forbade, they said, no Hebrew at school. So
that was during Ghazi, right? The King Faisal's son?
Yes, King Ghazi.
King Ghazi?
Yes.
In the late 30s?
In the late 30s, yes. And we only learned Arabic and French. And the and then in the upper classes, we started learning English also.
And was it your father who ran a printing?
Yes, my grandfather. Company? Yeah, that's grandfather. Right. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, my grandfather. That was the first printing.
Printing press. Publishing house.
Publishing house, and he used to print the Hebrew, all the Hebrew books,
and all the religious books.
Religious books, yeah. And then afterwards, my father took over this printing house, mm-hmm. and all school books was printed there.
Right. Were there Arabic books as well? So the school books were in Arabic?
Yeah, Arabic books, yeah, for the schools, yeah. And
tell me more about your parents. And your family. You have a very interesting family.
Yeah.
Make them come alive.
Well, I don't know.
Your mother, what was it like at home? You want to? Yeah, go ahead. Where did you live?
No, first we lived in the Jewish quarter in somewhere near the school.
Okay, what was the name of the neighborhood?
The Torat School, Torat Street.
Torat
Street, okay. Yeah, because synagogue was there next.
Do you remember the neighborhood, the name of the neighborhood?
This is what they call it.
Oh,
Torat Street,
okay.
Yeah.
It's
downtown.
I'm just trying to get a sense of what the Jewish neighborhoods were. I mean, I really have to take a look at the map. I mean, I know there's Tahtatakia, and I know that
there's Tahtakia, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but it's not near Tahtakia,
right.
It's further down.
Right.
And then we moved.
Mm-hmm.
We moved to... we lived sometime on the other side of the river. And then we moved to Abu Nawas Street.
Right.
That
was the main street.
That's the main street near the river.
Mm-hmm.
Near the river. We had a big house with balcony. I mean, really
beautiful house.
A very beautiful house with a big garden.
Mm-hmm.
And we lived there.
Sorry, go, I didn't want to interrupt you.
No, no, say.
I was going to ask you about restitution issues, what you feel that, when you have property still in Iraq, what do you feel that is owed to you? Do you want to get it back? Do you care about it?
Yeah, of course. We left everything. When we left, we had our house, in-laws house, mm-hmm. because when I got married we used to live together with my in-laws, and we had to leave the house behind, which was in Battawin, very nice house, very big house, and it's on two streets, mm-hmm. It has two doors on two streets,
okay.
Yeah, and we had to leave because we were not allowed to sell our property. And the business they have, my husband and his father, the family, the agriculture in Diwaniye, in Shamiya and Hamza.
Okay.
They had to leave everything behind.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we'd love to have it back because it's important. It's a lot, yeah. And we had money in the bank. Which
what did you leave with? Did you leave with anything when you left?
Yeah.
What were you able to take with you?
Only our suitcases.
That's
yeah, that's it. Yeah, we couldn't take anything out.
Right.
And we came here. We have family here.
Mm-hmm.
And
do you have memories of the first one?
Yes. Well, it was Shavuot.
Mm-hmm.
It was Sunday and Monday.
Right.
And then Sunday afternoon, we heard... actually, we didn't hear because we are far from downtown.
Mm-hmm.
It all started near downtown. And killing... It was 1941,
mm-hmm.
Sunday afternoon, they started killing the Jews. They stopped at one point, it was in Bab Sherki, they stopped a bus. They took, brought down the people there, and they killed them. Just like that.
So because the Jews, were they a bus of Jews?
A bus with different people, but they can tell... who is Jewish,
right?
And they killed them, and it went on like this. The next day they started going to the house the whole night, and the next day they went to the houses, they killed, they robbed.
Mm-hmm. Where were you? What were you doing? You must have been at home.
We were at home,
mm-hmm.
with my parents, of course, my brothers. And at the time, my uncle and his family came, lived with us, because they were afraid.
Mm-hmm.
But that day, we were so afraid, my father and my brothers, they sent us to Muslim friends.
Uh-huh.
We have Muslim friends. So my mother, my sister and myself, we went to our friends, we stayed there. They were very friendly, and we are still friends with them. Yeah, they are very nice people. Yeah, so, yeah. So we went there, we stayed till the next day,
right.
And we went back home.
Wow.
At the time, my brothers had their revolvers ready if anything happens. But of course, my father wouldn't let them use the guns.
Yeah.
And they could see people going on the riverside, on the street, with loads of things from the stolen from the houses. They could see the Arabs carrying things from
Jewish homes.
From Jewish homes.
Yeah.
But of course.
Yeah. Do you want me to turn it on?
Ooh. He wants to say something.
Oh, you want to say something? That's okay.
About 400 were killed.
Right.
And injured about 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
And this went on. But we must say, many Muslims helped the Jews.
Right.
They protected the Jews.
Right.
And one of them...
That's in your case, but there were other cases.
This is in our case, but in other cases also.
Right.
Neighbors, they helped the Jews a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the... you know, Abdul Karim Qasim.
Yes.
His brother.
Right.
He helped... the whole street where the Jews were living.
Really?
And yeah, and
which
he
street? One of the main streets where the Jews
Side streets.
Okay.
Side streets where the Jews were there. And he used to go and shop for them cucumbers, bread, and bring it to the houses.
Amazing.
Because they couldn't go out. So he helped them a lot. He was very good. And,
do you have Muslim and Christian friends who you played with regularly? I mean, not only the family that helped you, but...
We had a few, we had a few friends,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, what year did you leave Iraq? What year?
1974,
December
1970.
December 19, oh right, 2 months.
Two months,
okay.
From, yeah.
Okay.
Two and a half
months.
Yeah.
After
the,
okay.
Yeah.
So, why did your father want to continue staying in Iraq? Why did he leave in 1950 when most of the Jews left?
Because, I mean, business was good.
Right.
And he liked to live in Baghdad. I mean, it's hometown.
Right.
He didn't like to leave. We were comfortable. I mean, we were very
comfortable.
We had a comfortable life, so he didn't want to leave.
Right.
Well, after the Farhud,
mm-hmm.
Life changed and it flourished again.
Right.
Until 1948,
mm-hmm.
When Israel.
With
the Israel. Yeah.
So, how was it that you decided to leave? In 1974.
Well, the story is most of our friends, my parents left, my husband's parents left,
mm-hmm.
Everybody left. So we were, and in 1973, the things were so bad,
mm-hmm.
that we were worried about our children. I have two sons,
mm-hmm.
So we were worried. In 1973. We sent them to London. My sister lives here.
Mm-hmm.
So we sent them here to school.
Uh-huh.
At least they are safe. And then we had to decide and leave after them.
Uh-huh.
We were going after them.
Your sister Jolene?
Yes.
So she left in 54?
No, right? No, she left in 52.
52, okay.
Yeah, she got married. She didn't come back to...
I see.
Yeah.
So your sons went...
In 73, we had our passports ready also.
Mm-hmm.
They left, and we were waiting for my parents to leave, and then we were leaving.
Yeah.
My parents booked to leave the day, the 6th October, when the war broke, you know, with Israel.
Wow.
Yeah. So... It was Kippur, and the next morning they were leaving.
Yeah.
And the war broke. We didn't know if they could leave or not.
Mm-hmm.
They were leaving via Syria. And then I asked the airlines, what will happen? There's war. They said, no, the plane is going straight to London, non-stop. So my parents left that day.
Mm-hmm.
And they...
Was it like leaving the house? Behind, leaving everything.
It was very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no way out. I mean, they were getting older, and they couldn't bear it anymore.
Right.
So they left, and after that, they stopped passports for the Jews. We were not allowed to leave.
Right.
So we couldn't leave, as we promised ourselves, after the children and all that.
Right.
So we had to wait till the year after, 1974, when we were allowed to leave.
Right.
And we left. Right.
And you were the last?
From the
family. From your family. From the Dangur family, were you the last one?
The last one from the Dangur family and from the Halasti family.
You were the last one.
Yeah.
What was your business?
Agriculture.
Agriculture.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And
so,
what about integrating into London? What was it like coming here and trying to get your feet on the ground?
You
had family here beforehand, so you
yes,
came here.
Yes, I had my brothers, my parents, my sister. All of them were here.
Right. So it was not. It
wasn't difficult. Well, it was to get adjusted. I mean, we always think of Baghdad. We had a good life in Baghdad.
Mm-hmm.
And we always love to go back.
Yeah.
Not anymore now. I mean, not with this situation.
Right. If the situation were better, would you go back and would you
see? We go back, but not to live there. I mean, it's
to visit,
a long visit or whatever. Because the children are here, I don't think they will. They started their life here.
Right.
They can't go back there. But it would be nice to be there,
yeah.
To go.
When you think of Iraq, when you think of the best memories and the worst memories, what is your worst memory? We'll start with that one.
Well, the worst memory is it was 1967,
mm-hmm.
after the Six-Day War. We had a tough time. They stopped, they cut our telephones, no telephones, from the clubs. We were members in a few clubs.
Mm-hmm.
The
Jewish clubs?
No.
Other clubs.
Other clubs. Alwiya Club, Mansour Club, mixed
what kind
clubs.
What clubs were they? What, like sports clubs?
Social clubs, yeah. And so we couldn't go anywhere. We used to stay, I mean, to be at home early evening, 6-7 o'clock, we had to be at home, lock the door, and we don't know what can happen. If someone knocks at the door at night, we are frightened. We have to look from the window, who is there?
Right.
You know, this.
Somebody told me that, Nabil Fakal told me yesterday that when a non-Jew rings the doorbell, it's one ring, quickly like that, and a Jew is two.
That's right. This was between us. We used to knock twice, ring twice. It means we are one of the family or one of the friends.
Right.
But if there's one ring, we are frightened. But this Muslim friend, I tell you, that we have, she used to come at night. She used to come and knock at the window. And we know that she. We look from out of the window. She's there. She opened the door. I'm here. She used to come late, 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock, and she used to knock like this, and we opened the door for her. And she was very nice, very helpful. If we needed anything, she was always there. And many friends, Muslim friends, they were afraid to stop their car near our house.
Why?
Because they know this is it belongs to Jews, this house. And if anybody see their car,
yeah.
But she was the one that brings her car near the door.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't. And he has a Muslim friend also. He brings his car, officer in the army.
Mm-hmm.
He used to come and bring his car. He say, "I want someone to tell me why you are visiting Jews." So and I know how to answer to them.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you have cars?
Yes.
Did you drive?
I didn't drive. My husband used to drive.
Was it normal for was it typical for a woman to drive?
Yeah. I used to drive. I drove a little, but then after the revolution, 1958, mm-hmm. and my husband didn't let me to. The situation wasn't so good, so he said, "You don't need to drive." So I stopped.
Right.
And. Yeah, we had, what do you call that?
A sports center.
Sports
center. Ah. Which belonged again to the Daniel family.
Yeah.
Ah.
Azram Nahem
okay.
Daniel.
So tell me about that center. Either one of you.
You.
You want to do it?
Yeah.
I don't mind.
Okay. Because she used to go, he used to go.
Apart from the school, the Daniel family, who were one of the top rich family in Iraq, they had a sports center where people used to play. It didn't have a swimming pool, but it had a volleyball, a tennis court, ping pong, and people used to go and just socialize.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody used to go there, and
the
it was really wonderful.
Adults?
I'm sorry?
The kids and the adults?
No, it was mainly the kids and teenagers and all that.
Yeah.
And I remember we used to go there and play volleyball and play ping pong and, you know, just have a drink and run around, you know, in the gardens. And after 67, the government took it. So even that, we were not allowed to have
Did
anywhere.
Did they use it for their own use? Did they have it for their own use? Or?
They had it for their own use. But, you know, they took over everything. I mean, like my grandparents' house was massive. And I mean it massive. It's like a whole building here.
Wow.
And when they took it, because all my mother's siblings were abroad except for one brother, they said to him, either you pay the rent or you leave the house. They didn't say to my mother and her brother that, you know, the two of you are there, so the house belonged to you.
Yes.
And it was a massive house with really massive gardens.
Which grandfather is this?
On my mother's side, maternal.
Uh-huh.
They took it and they made it for the government as well. And they just take over and that's it. They give you nothing
right.
instead. But they took it and it was... I don't know, I mean, God only knows how many bedrooms, but they were massive rooms and how many bathrooms and the garden. But whenever they took a place, and like 10 minutes away from us, it was all the security, it was all Jewish houses which they took over.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all the security police and the most frightening places.
So they took over that house?
They took over, my grandfather's house, and they chucked the, you know, my uncle, and he had to come and stay in our house. But there was no rhyme or reason. You know, you are a Jew, you don't have a right to do anything. Without you opening your mouth, you have no right.
When was that? When did that happen?
After my grandfather passed away, 1971.
Okay.
You know, and he came to live in our house. He came with us, and he came with us here also.
Mm-hmm.
And the same with the school. Frank Annie School was massive,
right.
Really massive. I mean,
and beautiful. And
fabulous, the most beautiful gardens. They used to have weddings in the gardens, the chuppah, they used to have it in the garden, and it had the beautiful, wonderful hall where we used to do plays and all that. And I remember as a teenager, we used to have plays, we used to sing, we used to act, and it was so wonderful.
Right.
They took over and they made it a school for the Muslims.
Right.
And not only that, they said, oh, it used to belong to them, and we took it from them, but they had to fight back and take it back.
Okay.
And hundreds, I mean, I should say thousands, really, of kids went to it. At one stage, in a whole year, 800 children, boys and girls, were there.
Mm-hmm.
We had the most wonderful life there because we were so close to each other.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, life between boys and girls, it wasn't like here, romance, but everything was so beautiful. We used to go to parties and all that from one house to another and dance, but very few would step more than that.
Right.
It's not like here, the freedom. And it was wonderful because when we knew each other, you know, our parents knew where we were going. There was no clubs or restaurants outside where you could go.
Yeah.
But you could go to parties and we would have the music and dance and have nice food and go back home.
So you left when you were 23?
21.
21.
I left when I was 21.
What were relationships like between boys and girls? Could you have a boyfriend or did you just wait till you got set up and got married?
Well, they had boyfriends in the old days, but at the time we left,
yeah.
there was hardly anybody there.
Right.
I mean, practically all my...
Yeah.
All, practically everybody left, you know.
Wow.
But we had boyfriends. Boyfriends in the sense, like, you go out and you dance with them, but it wasn't more than that. You don't go out like here,
right,
and or live with them or anything, no. I mean,
yeah,
the parents you knew. It was
yeah.
really more a social
good
rather than anything.
Yeah. Right.
But even the girls and the boys were so close to each other. Up till now, we are still friends. Not
yeah.
only when we see each other. I mean, it's as if we didn't leave.
Amazing.
We always remember the nice time we had together, the nice memories that we shared,
mm-hmm.
the pictures and everything. Especially maybe my class, I had the most wonderful friends.
Mm-hmm.
And our group was so nice. We were very close to each other. And
did most of them go to Israel? Or
a lot of them to Israel, a lot of them here, America and Canada. But some of them got scattered in other places. There are a few Jews in Holland, there are some in Australia, there is some in Atlanta, a few in Boston.
Yeah.
I don't know whether you read the ones in Boston.
No, actually, I'd be happy to be referred to people in Boston.
Right, there are a few people, because my brother-in-law used to live in Boston,
uh-huh.
but he moved to New York, but his friends, they still live in Boston. Actually, one of the ones who live in Boston, which would be interesting for you to meet, is the son of our headmaster,
uh-huh.
Richard Obadia.
Okay.
Yeah, our headmaster Abdullah Obadia, Allah yarhamu, he was a wonderful man. Although not everybody liked him, he was very stern,
mm-hmm.
but he was really very very nice. And I remember him because he was like third cousin or second cousin to my father. He used to come to us often. So we always, you know, not only we saw him at the school, but we socialized also.
Mm-hmm.
And his son, after 67, a lot of the Muslim teachers left the school. They wouldn't teach in a Jewish school.
Mm-hmm.
So as it happened, where would he bring? Because he always had a point to bring the top teachers. The French ones for the French, the English teachers to teach us English. Hebrew we were not allowed to learn.
Right.
So we never learned Hebrew, only in the primary school, just a little bit, really, hardly anything. So his son was one of the people who was very, very clever to come and teach us applied mathematics.
Oh.
Yeah, he's Richard Obadia. He's married now, and he lives in Boston. That's another one. I'm going to write down all the ones that I'll get you the numbers for.
Okay.
This is one of them. And his daughter is in Canada, in Montreal.
Okay.
She's married
anybody
with kids.
Else in Boston?
In Boston, there is Elia Shaul. There are two brothers there. I think one of them is Ronnie, but what I'll do is I'll ask my sister, because they're very good friends with her husband.
Okay.
I'll get you the numbers. But the biggest community is London, Israel, New York, and Canada. Montreal, it's a big community as well, big
right.
Iraqi community.
Yeah, you probably will take a trip to Montreal.
Yeah, it's a big community there. And the other one, which I think you will enjoy meeting her, because she's got all her faculties, is Sitzimha. She was,
like
yeah,
suggested
I suggested that.
Yeah.
She is the headmaster's secretary.
Mm-hmm.
She is now an old woman, but she's got all her faculty. She's not married.
Mm-hmm.
And she brought with her all the school records, names and everything. A few years ago, one of the kids had a reunion. And they went to her and they got all the names of all the...
She brought the records to Israel.
Some of the records she brought it, you know, like who was in whose class. She brought it with her.
Okay, yeah, I called her. I haven't
she lives in Israel.
Her,
Linda definitely
Linda
will be able to tell
yeah.
you who she is.
I'm going to turn